Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be back here with my family. Speaking of family, I got my parents here this morning. It's always a good opportunity to be able to preach at your parents. So I'm excited they're here. I've had a week off, so I've had 2 weeks to prepare for exactly what I'm going to say to you. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I kid. You know, I wasn't here last week. We're all doing well, by the way. We appreciate all the prayers. We appreciate all the messages and the soup that was dropped off and all sorts of things. We just can never, all of us can never say enough about how much our family steps up to help each other in a time of need. You know, I praise God and I thank you for all that. We're all doing well now. And so I missed last week. I missed Mother's Day. And my mommy is right here, and I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. You know, the thing is, we say this. I didn't hear what she said, but it was probably good. You know, the thing is, we say, you know, Mother's Day should be every day. So here we're a week later, and I'm still celebrating Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I didn't get to say that to you last week. So happy Mother's Day. I love you. We love you. Y'all do so much. I mean, there's no doubt. So, this is your weekly reminder here that this place is not your home. This church is your home. This church family is your home, but this world is not your home. We belong to a kingdom. We're children of God, and we're going to find out a little bit about what that kingdom is like in our passage today. So if you flip to Mark chapter 4, we're going to talk about our next parable. Going to be the parable of the mustard seed. So we've been talking a lot about as we come to the church as broken people, that we ought to view the church as a hospital. And if the church is a hospital, we're the patients. If we're the patients, Jesus Christ is the doctor. If Jesus Christ is the doctor, this Bible is his doctor book. We all get that. You know, we're all broken from our sin. We all have different things we need to heal from. Rejection, trauma, sins in our past, generational sins. We all understand that. We all need the great physician. We need the great healer. And once you get healed, imagine you have a broken ankle. You go to the hospital. You go there and you don't talk about somebody else's injuries. You go because of your own injury. So you got to tell the doctor what's wrong with you. That's the first step. That's what we got to do. We got to tell the doctor what's wrong with us. Doc, I got a broken ankle. So what's the doctor going to do? He's going to give you a prescription on how to heal that. He's going to give you some physical therapy. He's going to give you maybe some medicine to take, put you on rest. And then once you're healing, the next thing you got to do is you got to grow. You got to learn how to grow that ankle strong. You got to do exercises to build it up. So hopefully that same thing where it caused it to break before won't happen again. So we got to heal, we got to grow. And then once we grow, we got to be equipped with what to do the next time we come across the situation where we got to use our ankle or use our faith. We got to heal, we have to grow, and we have to be equipped on how to walk in the positions, in the callings that God's given us to, as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, as children. We have to be equipped on how to do that. So the last parable we talked about, we were talking a lot about healing. The parable of the mustard seed, we're going to focus on a lot of the growing part. So we'll find this in Mark chapter 4. It's just a couple verses, starting at verse 30, if you follow with me. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we meditate on this parable today, Father, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us clarity, that you would give us the words we need, each one of us, to be able to grow into the callings, into the roles that you've given us, Father, as your children, living in this place that is not our home. Father, help us to know more what your kingdom is like. Give us a desire to want to grow, to be disciplined by you, and to be more like your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Jack, you've said a lot of funny things today. Never would I think Jack saying getting jiggy with it would lead so perfectly into my sermon. It just so happens God's working through Jack saying ridiculous things like get jiggy with it, which, by the way, reminds me of Will Smith's song Get Jiggy With It from the 90s. That's my frame of reference, Jack. Well, maybe it was the album Will-Lennium. I can't remember. Anyway, Will Smith, everybody loves him. Great rapper. Thanks for reminding me of his wonderful songs of the 90s, Jack. Getting jiggy with it. Yeah, so here's the question. I'll frame it in some Jack language here. What's your favorite song to get jiggy to? Think of it. What is your favorite song? What is your favorite hymn? Think about it for a minute. You know, is it the lyrics that make it your favorite song? Is it the music that goes with it? Is it both of those things? There's a lot of different versions of the song Hallelujah. My favorite is sung by a guy named Damien Rice. And it's just it's beautiful music and absolutely beautiful words of David. And what's your favorite song that you can think of? How does it go? How does the music sound to you? Some people here can play a lot of instruments. I know my stepdad, my pop over here can play the guitar pretty good. You know, what does it sound like? How many instruments, how many notes? What could you write that song yourself? It's intricate. Your favorite song is probably extremely intricate. You know, if you think about it, I'm not super musically inclined. That's being generous. I'm not musically inclined. That's why I preach. I don't sing. David can turn the radio up and down. We got a DJ. But think about your favorite song. From the single eight notes of the octave, just the notes of the octave, come every beautiful song that you know. From just such small beginnings that those eight notes of the octave make up every song that you've ever heard. Every one of your favorite songs come from those notes. Think of your favorite novel or your favorite poem. Or maybe you have a passionate speech that you've heard, or just a very moving movie script, a movie that you've seen. Just from the simple 26 letters of the alphabet make up every novel you've ever read, every poem that's ever emotionally moved you, every script of every movie you've ever seen, every powerful speech that you've ever heard, all comes from 26 letters of an alphabet. Now think of your closest relationship. For me, it's definitely my wife. It's no doubt. Riley's a close second. Mom and everybody else, I love you. But think of your most closest relationship. You know, me and my wife, it's closest relationship. You know, we've done so many things together. You know, and God's moving us to do so many more things. We're about to welcome a second child in the world. You know, we've walked into this role in ministry together. We've come from a place of darkness together. God's seen us through so many things. So many details of a relationship. And think about how intricate your relationship is with the closest people that you're with. And most of those all start with a simple hello. Or in my case, hey, let me get at you, girl. Which is still a hello. Again, Jack, this is a 90s. My frame is different. But think about it. All of these major things that are so intricate, that are so beautiful, all come from such simple beginnings. And Jesus offers this amazing question. He says, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? You know, if you could write down and prepare, you know, you're going to go interview Jesus and you could ask him any question you want. I'd say that what is the kingdom of God like would be very high on the top of my list, and probably yours too. If you could go, Jesus, you've done all these amazing things. I'm so grateful for your grace, your mercy in my life, for the freedom I have, the burden of my sin is gone. I got another question for you, God. Mighty Lord Jesus Christ, what is the kingdom of God like? Tell me about it. How would you describe it? Like I said in the intro, this isn't our home. Our home is the kingdom of God. We're physically here, but we're also spiritually here and now within the kingdom of God. That's available right here, right now to all of us because the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. So what is the kingdom of God like? Jesus is addressing crowds on the lake. We've talked about this context in the very first parable we've talked about. We talked about the parable of the sower. So there's these large crowds. Of course, the disciples are within some of these crowds. Maybe some of the teachers of the law are within this as well. But there's a large crowd, and Jesus is addressing many, and he's teaching them. And he's teaching what the kingdom of God is like. He's teaching them about the word of God. He does that in the parable of the sower, how the condition of your heart ought to be in order for the word of God to grow within you, to make you more mature. He's telling them of the conditions of their hearts. He even offers outcomes of what some of the hearers of God's word are going to look like. And some are going to sprout weeds and be cut, you know. He gives us all these teachings. And then he offers us the teaching of the kingdom of God. He offers a beautiful metaphor in this parable of what the kingdom of God is like. He says it's like a mustard seed. I don't know how many of us have a mustard plant in our garden, or we've come across one. I would say not many, probably none of us. It's a common plant in Palestine. It traditionally wasn't really a garden plant, but more of a field plant because it could grow 8, 9, 10 feet tall and have very bushy branches like a tree, but it's still considered a bush, but it's large, it's huge. And the tiniest of seeds is how it starts. It's just a tiny little mustard seed. And through this parable, Jesus is going to offer us characteristics about what the kingdom of God is really like. He compares it to that of a mustard seed. And one of the first lessons we can learn from this is that small steps over time, or small things over time, create a very large impact. Yeah, this isn't rocket science. This is stuff we probably know. We probably know that small steps lead to a large impact in our life. It's a simple teaching, but there's a lot of wisdom in this. Yeah, you know, we live in a culture, we live in a time in our world, and I've already made plenty of millennial generation references. My generation is certainly guilty of this instant gratification, but we all are. We all are. We all want our finances like that. We want the job like that. We want the relationship to be perfect like that. You know, when we're going through a struggle in our health, or maybe we're even in addiction recovery, we want things to happen like that. We want to be healed like that. You want everything back quick. That's the nature of our hearts. That's a human condition. We want everything right here, right now. We want to be the biggest, the largest, and our culture doesn't do much to diminish this kind of thought. Yeah, our culture flames this fire. And it's really a dangerous thing when you've got everybody walking around entitled. I mean, we see that. I myself was a product of that, probably in part of my addiction. You know, wanting everything right now as I grew up. That's just how I felt. That's just how I wanted. I want instant gratification. I want it here. I want it now. It led me down a path that I would never wish on anybody. You know, and it can do the same thing in all of our relationships. You know, this is a dangerous type of thought when it gets into the family unit. And you've got parents teaching kids to get things right here, right now, right away. And what kind of life does a child end up leading when that's what they've thought their whole life? Yeah. What about when we want that in our relationship with your spouse? And you want the perfect wife, perfect husband. I can change him. He's going to be perfect. Only take me 2 weeks. Have you seen what I've done with this house? I'm going to do the same thing to him. It's going to get flipped around and it's going to be perfect. Okay. Okay. Small steps create a large impact. The mustard seed teaches us that. That small steps eventually grow into a beautiful harvest. And you know the beautiful thing about that? When you sow these small steps and you get to reap that harvest of a large impact later on down the road, it means so much more. You know, again, this isn't anything that's super challenging to grasp or understand. Jesus is using a very simple demonstration to show some characteristics of what the kingdom of God is like. The disciples are hearing Jesus teach, and many of the days to come, the weeks to come, are going to be full on opposition. They're not going to see the large impact of what the kingdom of God, of what Jesus Christ's ministry is doing for most of them. They're not going to see it. They just have to trust that there's wisdom in the small steps that they're taking, and trust that Jesus is going to do the one to provide the harvest, the beautiful reaping of the small steps of the gospel that's with working within their midst. They're not going to see it. Some of us won't ever see the large impact. It's a beautiful thing when we do, when you sow into somebody, maybe a relative. I know Harry has testified to this. For years, he sowed into his cousin. That's just the example he uses. I have a suspicion Harry sows into a lot of his family and a lot of people. Amen. And Harry says, I've been sowing into this brother for a long time. And now you're seeing a large impact. He's asking him all kinds of questions. He's wanting to go to Bible studies. His heart is on fire, and it has stayed on fire. And it's a beautiful thing. That wasn't one quick thing. Sometimes it works like that with conversion and things like that, but most things take a small step to reap a large impact. You know, that calls for faith. That calls for perseverance. That calls for grit. And a lot of these are fruits of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus Christ within us in order to walk this out the way he wants us to do. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Help me with the characteristics that I need to work on, so that I can trust you in the small steps, because I know you're working major things. There's wisdom in the small steps. That's the first thing Jesus wants us to know about the kingdom of God. But as we take small steps, you know, we all have a job to do. We're all message carriers. Every one of us. You know, God's grace has worked in your life. It's worked in your heart. It's given you freedom. Not without trouble today, but you're not bonded by sin any longer. You can walk within the kingdom of God here and now, and eternally with him forever. Think of the small steps that we take when we carry a message. This is what we're all called to do. You know, are we reaping small steps into those around us? Are we preaching the gospel by the way we walk, by the things we do, the way we talk, the way we respond or choose to not respond in the heat of the moment? You know, these small things add up one way or another. Let's trust God that we can do it the right way and make a large impact for the sake of his name, for the glory, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. I think a second thing that we learned from the mustard seed is our walk of faith is just like a plant. It's just like a mustard seed. It's like a living organism. You know, Jesus is using this common picture that even today we all can very easily understand, planting a seed and it growing into a large bush looking like a tree. We can all understand that today. Jesus is, and we've got farmers in the house. We can all understand this view, this picture of what it looks like to plant a seed, take care of it, and have it grow into something huge. Our faith in the kingdom of God is just like that. Just like a mustard seed plant, we need to be watered. We all need to be watered. You ever go through a drought in your faith? Yeah, I feel you on that one. You know, where Satan is just pulling at you in every which way. You know, I think one of the biggest ones that we, generally speaking, can easily fall into is, I don't have the time for this. I got to do this. I got to work. I got to go do this. I've got this concern. I got that. Well, if I don't do this, then it's not going to work out for them. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. We need to be watered, just like the living organism, just like a plant, just like a mustard seed, in order for us to grow into a large tree, like the mustard seed appears to be. We need to be watered. We need to have sunlight. We need to be nurtured. And it takes time. A mustard seed doesn't grow into an 8 or 9 foot plant overnight. It takes months. It takes years of watering, of nurturing, of making sure it's getting enough sunlight, of making sure it's getting the energy it needs in order to grow. We can take lessons from that in our faith. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Again, it takes perseverance in your faith. You need to stay in the word. We've all got to do that. We've got to hold each other accountable. We got to fellowship with one another. We got to pray for one another. These are a lot of things that we do well a lot of the time here. But we got to stay consistent on these things. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a seed that needs to be nurtured. Each one of us is a child of God in the kingdom of God. We all need to be nurtured. This is the growing aspect of our faith. You know, we've talked about the healing. This is about the growing. We need to learn the word of God. We need to use it properly. We need to hold each other accountable for things. Not just things we say, things we do. You know, pull brother or sister aside one-on-one and in love say, hey, I notice you got this thing going on. You know, can we pray about it? You know, we all need to be nurtured. We all need to be disciplined. We all need to grow up into maturity. That takes time. That takes watering. That takes sunlight. That takes love. We don't just grow by ourselves. A plant doesn't just grow by itself. It needs all these things outside of it. Mustard seed's not going to grow just by itself sitting there. It needs to be dug into the ground and watered and nurtured and taken care of, just like each one of us. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what children of God, that's what believers, brothers and sisters in Christ do. They help take care of one another. I can't grow by myself. I need you. So we learn that our walk of faith, our following Jesus is just like a living organism. It's just like a seed in so many different ways. And we find out that within the kingdom of God, within this tiny little mustard seed that grows into this big, bushy, tree-like bush, we find rest, refuge, and restoration. Jesus says, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shades. The birds, that's inclusive. That's including the Gentile believers. That's what Jesus is talking about, that we all are invited into the kingdom of God, that through Jesus, everyone's invited, not just Jews. We can all be God's chosen royal priesthood now if we believe in Jesus Christ and we profess faith in him, are baptized into the Holy Spirit. We're all included in the kingdom of God, which is a beautiful thing. Think about a bird that's taking rest in this tree. When a bird perches on a large tree, they make their home there. The kingdom of God ought to be our home. This is one of the things I've been saying this morning. This isn't our home. The kingdom of God is our home. Just like when a bird perches on a tree branch, they find their home there. They make a nest there. They find their rest there. That's such a something nobody ever has these days. Ask anybody, hey, how you doing, man? I'm tired. You know, everybody's tired. We're all tired because we're all running, doing all these other things, which are a lot of these things are necessary that we do in this world, in this life. But there's only one place where we find true rest, and that's within the kingdom of God. Just like a bird, that's where they find their rest. They're safe there. Bird is safe within these branches. We're safe within the kingdom of God. Not safe in a sense that we're not going to have trouble in this world. Jesus made that very clear. But he also made very clear that he overcame this world too. And because of that, and because of his death and resurrection, we have safety. We have eternal life. We have a gift of grace that we don't deserve. Birds raise their young there. How about that concept? John spoke about that a little bit in communion, being raised in the church. Being raised not just within a building where people meet on a Sunday, but really within the kingdom of God. Really within the encouragement and the love and the grace and mercy of the believers, the church, me and you, all of us, the people. That's the kingdom of God. Really being raised in and with that. Not just an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Because that's where birds are raising their young, right within the tree. That's where we ought to be doing this. They grow up there. They find their whole life there within this tree, within these branches. Their safety, their love, their grace and mercy are all found within the branches of the mustard seed plant once it's grown. And all are invited. It's the same, and it ought to be for us, that we find our rest, our refuge, our protection, our safety, our accountability, our love, our mercy, our grace, our patience with one another, our restoration in our lives, our redemption from the things that we've done, the things that have been done to us, the healing, the growing, the equipping to go out and live within the roles that God's called us to. We find all that within the kingdom of God. That's how it ought to be. If you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, and if you're running around and you're finding no rest or no healing or no refuge within the things of this world, maybe it's time you come home. If you're here today and you've gotten off the track, maybe you've taken large steps off the narrow path, remember, God works in the little things. A small step towards God, and he'll come running towards you. That's what we learn in the prodigal son. When we go wayward and we just turn, all we have to do is just turn and start heading towards him. And he runs towards us, open arms, the Father, with his love. And he says, here I am. All my love, all my rest, all my refuge. I want to restore you. I want to redeem you. If you're here today and you've gotten off track, or maybe you've never been on that track and you want to be, the invitation is open. You can speak to any of the guys that have been up here leading today. Pull any one of us aside. We'd love to talk to you, pray for you. We've got water filled in the baptism pool. We can baptize you here right now today. Let's trust the simple wisdom of the parable of the mustard seed, that these small steps, the small steps of faith, the little things that we do, just a little bit of encouraging words. You know, hey, Jack, great song leading. David, wonderful shirt. Makes me feel festive. John, you always have the best hair in the building. Let the little things we do add up to a large impact. Because we can't all preach, we can't all teach, but we can all say something nice. We can all make small steps to be more like Christ each and every day. And over time, these things make large impacts. Yeah. Treat our walk of faith like a living organism. Feed it. You know, fight the urge to make the excuses about time or effort or things that you have to do otherwise. Get up that extra half hour early, get in God's word, meditate, pause for a minute and just listen. God's going to talk to you. God speaks to those who have time to hear him through his word, through prayer, through meditation. And lastly, remember that your rest and your refuge and your regeneration, your new life, your whole life, here and for eternity, rests in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the parables in your holy word, Lord, that we can learn from them and we can grow from them. We can be healed. We can be equipped to go out and live within the roles, within the callings that you've given us, Father. Lord, I pray that as we beg the question, what is your kingdom like? Lord, that we would learn from your parable, that we would glean from it, that we would take small steps in our daily actions that would lead to great, large impacts, not just for us, not just for others, but ultimately for your glory. And Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to let this word not just be information, but it would lead to transformation in the way we live our lives and the way we do things, in the way people see your son through us. Father, and we just pray that for those that are running, that are tired, that don't have a home, that don't feel like they're home, that are asking and begging for a new life, but don't know where or how to find it or where even to start. Lord, that they would make that small decision today that would lead to the greatest impact that they would ever have in their lives for all eternity. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your love for your son, Jesus, that he would lay down his life, that he would put your will above his own, Lord. May we learn to do that as well as we become more and more like him. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy, matchless name. All God's people said. Will you stand for this last song, please? Mm-hmm.